Scott here. Welcome to Theology Lab's Beyond Simple Answers. Do you wonder why God created a world where there is so much suffering? Have you heard answers to that question that raise additional questions for you? That's what we're exploring in the first series of Beyond Simple Answers, in the first 5 episodes. In this episode, our main goal is simple, just to get out there on the table some of the simple answers to the question, why God creates, that sometimes don't entirely satisfy, at least not on their own. They are the simple answers that we want to explore in this series. As a bonus here, Kristen poses a question to her Bookstagram followers about whether or not they experience life as a gift. The very basic question, are people glad for their existence? We tie the responses to this poll into our discussion. If this series interests you, take a moment to follow or subscribe to the podcast, as new episodes that keep the conversation going will be coming out soon. Here's the episode. Kristen, Greg, welcome to our first series for Beyond Simple Answers. Hey, how are y'all feeling about it?
I'm glad to be diving in and having a space to talk about this because it's something that's on my mind a lot.
I also don't know where we'll land. It's not like fully scripted, so that's exciting, a little scary. We'll see.
So Beyond Simple Answers, we're going to be taking up questions that we think at least draw out of us that we want to explore more, that we've heard answers to, but like those are somehow unsatisfying. All right, so let's jump right into it. Greg, would you get us started and help us kind of to begin naming the question we're going to look at during this series?
Yeah, absolutely. So our question for today, simple one, is why did God create this world? And so it seems simple, but just unpack that a little bit. You know, when I think about if I could create the world, would I create the world the way it is with all its problems and pain? Like, maybe not. Not that I'm, you know, criticizing God or anything, but gosh, it does seem like there's some dissonance there between what I might do and the way the world is. So why did God create this world? So I hope that's an easy question to answer, and we can just dismiss that in a few phrases.
Wrap things up in one episode. Kristen, would you put any different kind of spin on that question?
Yeah, I think that we're taught that creation is good and God is good, but there is so much pain and suffering and evil in this world, and it's hard to reconcile those two beliefs with the realities of what people experience on a day-to-day basis. And I think I feel close to that both on a personal level with friends who suffer from chronic depression and also on a professional level, seeing lots of mental health illness as a primary care doctor and also chronic pain and death, premature death. And so it's something that I have to wrestle with a lot so that I can be there for the people in my life who are struggling with that too.
Okay. I appreciate those answers. I hear this as we're asking maybe like the basic question is why did God create? And then we're like putting a lens on that question. Tell me if this sounds right. The lens is why did God create the world that looks the way it does, particularly in like all the suffering that's around. Okay, let's go from here to what I think, you know, we want to like center our discussion on, especially for this episode, but for like this kind of this whole thing that we're doing, which are the simple answers to the question, why did God create? So I'm curious to know, what have you heard as reasons that God created that leave you feeling a little bit unsettled? But before we do that, Kristen, could I ask you? I know that like you have a large Instagram following through Bookstagram, and you put a question out to your followers that's super relevant to this. Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, as I was thinking about whether creation is a gift, because I think that is the Christian assumption that creation is good, God is good, creation is a gift. I wanted to ask people, do you really experience life as a gift? Are you glad you were born? And so I asked folks whether they were glad they were born, because I think I know people in my life who aren't. I sometimes am ambivalent about this. So that's what I posed. And I got some very fascinating answers. But I'd love to hear what you guys think the percentage breakdown is of the answers that I got. So the answer choices were yes, I'm glad I was born. No, or I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. And this is just put out to your general Bookstagram following. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Greg definitely wants to go first. Greg, go first.
I don't know. 65 yes. 65 yes. 25, I don't know. And whatever the remainder is, 10% no.
Oh, geez. I feel like it's going to be grim, Greg. I feel like you gave like an optimistic take. All right, ready? I'm going 50, 35, 15.
You guys are so close. Should I disclose the answers?
Yes, please, please, please.
So the actual results was really close to what you guys said, actually right in the middle for the yeses. So 58% yes, people were glad they were born. 14% no, not glad. And 28% unsure, or wow. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Can we sit with that for a second? What do you make of that? Is we're about to go into a question about like, talk about faith and theology and why God created. Just that general take, like, does it set the stage in any way for what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, to me, I think it shows us that not everyone is that sure that they're glad that they exist right now. And I mean, it's a tough time in our country, so there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think that we just can't say a priori that life is just good for everyone, right?
You'd want it to be 100% yes. That's what you'd hope, even though you know it's not. And even folks who are like, I don't know. It's like, oh, I'd still prefer that to be like a resounding yes. So that is, yeah, it's sobering. And I wish we can move those numbers more towards the yes.
Like the world, I don't know. It just says like in this really plain way, the world is not as it should be. And yeah, folks are willing to name that and say that.
I do want to just clarify that in terms of the people who answered yes, no, and don't know, you know, I don't know the breakdown of ages or beliefs, but a lot of people came into my DMs or direct messages because I invited that to just expand on their answers. And I just want to clarify that the people who said yes versus no, it wasn't aligned with necessarily faith beliefs or not. So people who love Jesus, believe in Jesus, answered both. And so I just think that that's interesting and something that we should keep in mind, that it's not just like, oh, believers are all yes and non-believers are all no.
All right. Let's go to the answers that we have heard in the past that, you know, like at some point at least raise questions for us or we find unsettling. Does anyone want to get us started with an answer to the question, why did God create the world, that you have heard before and that elicits some kind of response from you?
And we're just addressing why did God create, full stop, not the this world part with all the suffering, just purely, well, why did God create?
What have people said to you about like why God created the world, but then like, how are you uncomfortable with that response based on the way the world is?
But to kick it off, right? It's like, well, what? So traditionally it's that it was the overflow of God's glory. So God is like so much glory and it's the Trinity and it's pretty good, but you could have more vessels to hold God's glory. And so hence the creation ultimately of beings that I don't mean to go too far down this line prematurely, but like who have free will, who can like fully worship God and hold that glory. And so hence this world with humans that have free will. And so here we are, billions of us.
This is also pretty like, there's a lot of like theological signals. Like this is pretty theologically dense, the overflowing of God's glory out of the Trinitarian life of God. Anyway, so when was this like, when was this a thing in your life?
Okay, got it. Yeah. I mean, probably college. I think this is college. So it was a few decades ago. I'm older than I appear, thanks to some Korean shampoo. because in college, it's a chance to start to ask questions where I'm like, wait, so like, why are we here? Like what? And I think that was kind of the theological answer as well. It's you need a place for God's glory, which seemed okay. I think I was like, all right, sounds good. But it raises additional questions, which I think we'll get into momentarily. But
I think, I mean, we should, let's go there now. Can you unpack a little bit about what that has, or how that's like raised questions for you over time?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the problem, if you will, with that is it seems to come at a high cost, right? Because for those who buy into that plan, who are preordained or choose to follow Jesus and are spend eternity worshiping God, that seems to work out. But for everyone else, it's kind of a high cost. And so it raised the question of, like, was this the only way? If God's glory is overflowing, weren't there some like other solutions for that didn't involve so much damage, like sort of collateral damage on the side? So I fundamentally think that's the question. And then there's also this little hint of like, it feels a little selfish. It's like God has just like too much glory. And so he's got to give it away. But wow, I mean, can't he do it in a better way? I don't know. Like, it just seems weird.
Yeah. Corollary of that, Greg, that I was taught, kind of besides this overflowing of glory, is that God created us to worship God. And, you know, I get that if God is this perfect, omnipotent being, then I get why it's within God's rights to do that. But it does seem a little selfish to create humans to worship God. And then the other kind of offshoot of that is the overflowing of his love, like not just God's glory, but the overflowing of God's love, and like the love needing a place to go, which is nice. And I do think that's a fundamental Christian belief, is God loves God's creation. Mm. But again, because this world is so full of suffering, like, I don't think everyone experiences that as love.
Oh, that's the power. Okay, let me try to, Chris, let me say the second one back to you. The second idea that you kind of build off of Greg there is that, like, all right, so God is full of love, and God needs a place. God kind of, even if I don't even take out the word need there, but God is going to, it just fittingly express this love by creating something else outside God, right? There's a beauty in that. But then, like, when you look at the way the world is, it's like, whoa. Is this really like the most loving way things could go for an ultimately loving God? How does that sound to you?
Exactly. Yeah.
So can I stay with the glory thing for a second? Because so I hear two different like lanes here. Like, one lane has to do with really a focus on God. Another one is God creates for God's glory. But then there's this question of like, who gets to share in that and who doesn't? And that lane is like the lane that looks at people and like the final destiny of people, and that raising big questions about, you know, like God's goodness, God's character. I'll just admit, like, the second one has been an interesting theological question for me recently, but I would say it's actually over time, it's the first one we talked about, where it's like, I just heard a lot, you know, God created the world for God's glory. And I definitely want to come back to that and say like, okay, how would I interact with that now? But there were definitely impressions that I had where that idea was conveyed, and it was when it wasn't unpacked. And especially like, and I think maybe it was like communicating like a heavy-handed kind of way, right? Like who are you, like little minnow of a creature? God created this world for you to worship God, so whatever God does, whoever God is, worship God. And you know that, like, that's unsettling, right? Are there other areas, other answers you've heard that you just like haven't sat well with you over time? And if maybe I can get us started here with one of them. This one gets a little bit philosophical kind of quick, right? But it's like, God created the world for us to be human partners, and for us to be able to love God freely. And that freedom is super important, right? Because we're not meant to be robots. So God creates for the sake of friendship with us. I think that's certainly a beautiful idea. I definitely want to come back to that later on. But it did raise questions about, like, you know, like the responsibility for why the world is the way it is. I think this is a view of why evil exists in the world that's pretty popular, right? Is that it's there because we brought it about with the God-given freedom we had, and that we had to have if we were to love God genuinely, if we weren't to be robots. And that definitely makes a certain amount of sense. Where it gets complicated for me, and this is why I said it gets kind of philosophical kind of fast, as Christians, we hope that one day we will have freedom, but that freedom will not include the ability to do evil, right? Like, it'll just be like the good will be so apparent to us. But this is kind of a, right, the hope for a, what God will do in the future in a great transformation of all things. And so, I mean, this is the question that really sticks for me is like, couldn't God have got started that way, right? Like a world that included real freedom, but a freedom that did not include the ability to turn away from God. And, you know, if someone just says, well, that's impossible with freedom, like, I'd say that's the freedom we hope for as Christians one day is that very thing where, like, the evil will not even be an option for us, or it will be so foolish that it will be impossible to choose. Right. So that's where I get unsettled with this question of
totally.
Why did God create the world in the way it looks now?
Let's just skip straight to heaven, right?
Well, the other way that my mind goes is it's hard not to feel like we're like Take Two, where there are these angel things flying around that seem to have less free will in some ways. They seem different. They seem more programmed to worship. And yet it's like, oh, that was his first attempt. Didn't totally work because one of them, a whole bunch of them rebelled. And so now we're like version 2.0, which raises all sorts of like troubling implications about like, how could God not know? So like, doesn't he know everything? But anyway, I digress.
Can we just be very clear that like we are definitely not covering or trying to figure out any solution that involves angels in this series?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If that warrants its own thing, but like I just feel like that is going to take like I'm just like I don't know. Kristen, do you know? I do anything? I don't. All right, let me give it a go then. It trying to summarize what we've covered. We talked about why did God create the world, and then answers to that. But then looking at that, all right, in light of the way the world is not as it should be, a world full of suffering. And how does that unsettle the question of why God created for us? And then we looked at answers around God's glory, around human freedom, and around like the hope that we have and why that isn't already here and all the suffering that has come with that. I think the next thing we do is we sit with some of these responses and say like, okay, like what about them do we not want to take on board anymore? Which of these would we want to nuance? And which of them do we think hold a lot of promise? And then maybe bring in a couple other constructive ideas going forward.
Sounds great. I'm sure we'll get to an answer.
Yeah.
Learn more about Theology Lab at theologylab.org and stay tuned for the next episode in Beyond Simple Answers that continues to look at why does God create a world where there's so much suffering, and why this question matters in personal and practical ways.